do have a couple outlines left. If you'd like to follow along, didn't receive one, you still have those available? Not going to finish this outline this evening. Next week I'll conclude this particular subject. Comes from in James chapter 1, verse 19, the three phrases. Be swift to hear. That was our first lesson several weeks ago. Meaning that we need to be quick to hear the word of God. Need to listen up. Almost like speedy hearers. The context is, in the verse before James 1, 19, verses 18 and verse 21, you have the phrase, the word of God. So being swift to hear, in context, has reference. Be quick to hear what God has to say. And then we started this one on slow to speak. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall be destroyed, or shall have destruction. So that's what we don't want. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. I want to stay out of trouble. So this lesson, it concerns itself with tongue trouble. I just listed many places in the Bible that gives a different word for destructive speaking. So that's what this list is. Number one, remember taking God's name in vain. That was one of the Ten Commandments, meaning don't use God's name flippantly. Don't speak of God's name with indifference or devoid of worth. Don't make God's name a euphemism. I just keep saying OMG. Now, God's name is not to be taken in vain. It's to be reverent, hallowed. Number two was cursing or profanity, and we recognize that one. We hear it so much in everyday life, many times on our jobs, in society, in the media. Oh, my. It's just amazing how much cursing is there. Flattery was the next one in Psalm 12, verse 2, meaning adulation or somebody said, it's those are honeyed words. Honey words. Insincere, excessive praise. Yeah. So just flattery. Sometimes people say, flattery will get you nowhere. With some people. That was three with flattery. Number four was just evil speaking. Those are words that are intent to do harm. If it's evil speech, it's words that are going to hurt. Oh, that's evil. Or injure, or it's words that are malicious. One definition in Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament words, he had the word naughty. That's just naughty. Evil speaking. Number five was lying or false witness. That's just, as you know, an untrue statement. Typically with lying or false witness, there's an intent to deceive or cover up. Or lead someone in the wrong direction. Number six was tale-bearing or gossip and a whisperer. And those are words that would use that would want to reveal something personal or sensational about another. Someone used a phrase, that's secret slander. Secret slander. False tale-bearing, gossip, or a whisperer. Then we closed out, I think, last week with backbiting. It means that's slander. But if you backbite, it means you say spiteful things about another in their absence. If you're going to backbite, the idea is to malign someone or to defame them. You know, you'll take away their praise or glory. Or credit, praise. Backbite. So now on number eight, a harsh criticism or judge. Very familiar verse. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, but the opening verses where Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. If you take the nots out of there, it says, judge and you'll be judged. So he says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So here was the comment on that one. By judging not, the prohibition, or don't do it, it's a censorious, presumptuous preoccupation with other people's situation that encourages a reciprocal judgment from them. And that results in all kinds of bitterness or recriminations or vindictive hatreds. So judge not that you be not judged. Typically, it's whatever we do to someone else, they're going to do back to us. How whatever tone of voice we use on them, they're going to use back on us. Judge not that you be not judged. But what measure you use, it'll be measured back your way. Then Jesus adds the illustration of the beam and the mote. And he makes it personal first to take this huge beam out of your own eye first before you make those harsh criticisms about someone else and they just have a speck or a mote in their eye. So it's recall, it's reciprocal judgment when we judge others. It's there's a realization that in this verse that we don't always measure up. Judge not, or we just open ourselves up for judgment when we make that harsh criticism or a censorious judgment on someone else. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, oh, here's room for judgment. I see someone that did something wrong. He's wronged me. He's committed a trespass. He's committed a fault. So he's been overtaken. So you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Didn't say go point a finger at him. Go shame them. Throw stones. Flatten their tires. Didn't say things like that. No, restore. The whole purpose of help with our criticism or our judgment is restoration. To bring someone who's at fault or out of sorts or out of line back into the fold, back into this fellowship that we have. And then the next phrase in Galatians 6, verse 1, it takes us back to what Jesus said. Now considering yourself. Oh, I have to take myself in mind. I have to consider that there might be a beam in my eye? No, not mine. Can't be a beam in my eye. Yeah. It's the golden rule. You know, Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want me to do also to them. Reciprocal judgment. I want them to be kind to me, Paul. Well, I better be kind to them when they're in a fault. If I'm in a fault, I want someone to come restore me. So if someone else is in a fault, my purpose in going to them is restoration. That's the meaning of the text. James 2, verse 13 says, judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. Uh-oh. So obviously, but eternal judgment is given to God, His Son, Christ Jesus. We're not to take that position in judgment, eternal judgment. Someone said that when you point a finger at someone, you have three fingers pointing back at you and a thumb pointing up. Be careful with judgment, harsh criticism or judgment. Next one's idle words. This one sometimes troubles people. What's an idle word? But here's the text. In Matthew 12, I'll read the whole verse. Matthew 12, verse 35, beginning of verse 35. And, here's the first character. A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. And then he takes the opposite. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. So he speaks in the context of we want to do good things. There's some people that do evil things. But then he says, but the idle word. the idle word. I put by definition, it's words that would betray your discipleship and confession. If you've already been made it known to others, I stand on God's side. I've let others know to whom I belong. But I don't want my idle words or my speech to betray that association. Or the way that, you know, when we, you know, yes, I'm a Christian. Don't let the idle words betray that commitment. It's words that would reveal hypocrisy on the on your part to the hearer, your idle words. And say, oh, you don't. You say you're, but those idle words, the words that don't minister grace to the hearers, idle words. Their words are in contrast to the speakers in verse 34 that didn't speak good things. Idle words. Number 10, or coarse jesting in the New King James Version, or corrupt words. So two verses I added to the notes in Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Oh, here's a list again, that category of things. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Well, that's what we're talking about in this context, the filthy language word. In Ephesians 5, verse 3, let it not be named among you, but as is fitting for the saints. We don't use that word fitting very often. It means to use that word that's becoming, or that's words that are appropriate, words that are discreet, words that would keep identifying you as being on God's side. You know, speech that is good manners. See? Yeah. But so don't let filthy language come out of your mouth. Neither, and then it's still in Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. And then he says it again, which are not fitting. Not fitting. Then he says, but rather give thanks. Words that are fitting. Fitting. Filthy language, you know, corrupt speech, vulgar, smutty, one definition. So irreverent talk. Filthy language is language that's gross, it's obscene, it's revolting. It's sometimes filthy language is a chaste expression, but it conveys a lewd meaning. So you want to be careful with what we say, that coarse or that filthy language. Then the other word that was used in Ephesians 5, verse 4, coarse jesting. We have legitimate humor. Now we jest with one another quite often. But this is coarse jesting by the translation in the New King James. It's legitimate humor, but it crosses the line. Or if coarse jesting, it's words that lack social grace. It's coarse. It's words that are rude. Or it's jesting that is low and not elegant. It's crass. We don't use that word very often either. But we understand crude. Well, that's crude. That's coarse jesting. In Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt word or speech proceed out of your mouth. There's the admonition. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So in our speech with one another, make sure it's not filthy or coarse. False teaching, that's an easy one, isn't it? We don't want to teach falsehood. Titus 1, verse 10, there are many that are insubordinate. They're idle talkers, deceivers. Especially those of the circumcision, is his illustration, Paul's illustration to Titus, and their mouths must be stopped. They're teaching things that they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. We don't want to teach falsehood. The last one I'll mention today is number 12, blasphemy. Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put up all these things. Again, here's that catalog or that list, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. definition. How big a definition I put in your book? I forgot. Pretty good. Sacrilegious. Speech that defames God. It's blasphemy. It's to rail at or revile against God. If you commit blasphemy, you speak contempt toward God. You deny the evidence or the testimony of God's power and you attribute it to the devil. It's just irreverent language, blasphemy. One illustration I'll close with. This is the first recorded instance of one breaking the third commandment. Blasphemy. Don't take the Lord God's name in vain. Here's the first illustration in the Bible of breaking that commandment. It's in Leviticus 24, verse 10, or begins at verse 10. Here's the story. Leviticus 24, verse 10. Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. This Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. So we have a battle going on, a fight. The Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. They brought him to Moses. Uh-oh. You don't want to go before Moses. Not in the Old Testament. If you did something wrong, don't go before Moses. But they brought him before Moses, and they put him in custody. And there's the illustration. That the name of the Lord might be shown to them. Blasphemy. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take outside the camp him who is cursed. Let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And you bear your own sin. You committed a curse against God or blasphemy. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. That's Old Testament. Blasphemy. Blaspheme the name of the Lord and cursed. So that's the first illustration of anyone that broke that third commandment of God's name. All right, so we'll close there for this evening and close out this series next Lord's Day evening, God willing. Sunday, 2 weeks from tonight, of the month, October 1st. So that Sunday evening, we typically don't have preaching. We just have our singing and scripture reading. You know, communion, prayers, things like that. A devotional situation. The following Sunday, October 8th, Christy and I will be out of town. We'll be up visiting our son and daughter-in-law in Arbuckle, north of Sacramento. We're going to be staying for quite a few days just to be away. And that Sunday morning, a reminder, you have the sermon Sunday morning that I'm going to be gone, October 8th. And Chris has the evening sermon that night, so October 8th. So I want to finish this lesson on slow to speak next Lord's Day evening, and then when we get back, the third Sunday of October, I'll take the last phrase of James 1, slow to wrath. That one hit home. I build up wrath. Wrath is part of my nature. But they'll have to be slow to wrath. Slow down. Slow, Brian. Slow. So that'll be the third Sunday of October, Lord willing. All right, at the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. You're subject to it if you don't obey the gospel message already. And you know what that invitation is. You know what the component parts are. That having heard the word of God, you believe it. You have faith. That's what God said, and God's word is sure. He makes good his promises. The Bible said he can't lie. So I have faith in what God says. And because of that, I'm going to repent of my sins. I'll turn my life around. Live it God's way. And then I'm going to make my confession of faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then I'm going to be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, then I begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend. If you've not obeyed that good news gospel message already, you have that opportunity tonight while we're here to share with you and rejoice with you in that decision. So let's, our custom is, let's stand and sing this. You did that's your desire, your resolve.